Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It is time for our patron chat for the end of the month. And one of the things that we notice about Fallout, because it is so popular, is that it shows up all the time in other forms of media, other games, movies, other sorts of things. Heck, they even make Nuka-Cola bottles that you can buy at the store, right? Fallout's everywhere. And Pumpkin this week suggested we talk about all of these other places where Fallout shows up. And so that's what we're doing. Everybody's going to bring their own references, and we're going to discuss this a little bit. And joining me this week, we have CatPat and Pumpkin, Void, Lil Green, and Brachio Dreamer Ash. Welcome, everybody. So glad to have you back on the show. And I already know from the pre-chat, this is why you should come hang out with us in the live stream. This is going to be a wacky episode, but Pumpkin, you're going to kick us off. You're actually at your house today. It's so cool to see you in your little home studio thing going on. Yeah.
I'm super excited to be at home to do this, especially with this, because my old setup was my bed. So I'm actually at a desk this time.
Yeah, you're a real podcaster at a desk with
really
a headphone.
I'm really happy about that now.
Headphones and, and a microphone, all of that. Yeah. Yeah, man.
So, but to get on with it, I kind of saw this, had this idea with me and going from the Fallout outside of it when me and Jeremy did what I'm about to talk about, the Fallout Minecraft mashup pack.
Right. So for people to understand, you do the show Tism Talks with Jeremy.
Yeah.
With Void.
We do.
And this was a topic you've already covered on that show, but you want to share some of the things that you learned with us, right?
Yeah. So the map, it's not a small map. There's some, it's a huge map, and there's a ton of different, aspects from the first two Fallout games, in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. Sadly, New Vegas and 76 don't have locations in the map. Mm-hmm. Bethesda and or Mojang, if you're listening, you should update it.
Yeah. Wait, so is this an official Bethesda-made thing for
No, it's a it Minecraft? Is a Mojang-made thing, but it was made with the permissions of Bethesda.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Jeremy's looking it up
it
right now.
It was a partnership between Mojang and Bethesda, and Bethesda helped build the assets.
Right, and that also makes sense now because both of those companies are owned by Microsoft, so I guess that there's some synergy.
This is long before Microsoft acquired them. This was back when Fallout 4 released.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
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 But there's so many different locations. Like one of our favorite ones that we found was the USS Enterprise, not Enterprise.
The Star Trek?
The USS Constitution.
They added Star Trek into the Fallout, into Minecraft. It's multiple layers.
I watched a Star Trek video earlier, so my brain had that on the mind.
Sure. The Constitution, the
Constitution,
ship.
Giant ship that flies off into the distance, flying from one bank into the same bigger, same branch of the bank. it's got that. It's got Sanctuary. Your spawn is at the Red Rocket from Fallout 4, the first one that you find, and like I said, there's locations from one and two, like the cathedral and Vault City. There's even the random encounter from, I think it's, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's two, because it's the portal where it sends you back to Vault 13 and you break the water chip.
Okay.
But you don't end up in Vault 13. It just sends you to the Nether.
Okay. So very Minecrafty. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Megaton was in there, and Megaton was extremely detailed.
Really?
And it's most of the stuff was extremely detailed, except they were just kind of empty. except for the Citadel, where there was a very janky looking Liberty Prime.
That's cool. So, okay, so do they also have, like, gear, like, armor or skins?
It is not just the mashup pack. It is a texture pack. Mm-hmm. Each one of the, Minecraft mobs also looks like a thing from the Fallout series. So, like, certain villagers, they'll either look human or they'll look like a Protectron.
Right.
And then but my favorite one, I think we discovered there's two that we found. One was the Enderman, which they're designed to look like the Zaytans from the Fallout series.
They're kind of alien-ish.
And
yeah.
The only New Vegas thing referenced was the Ender Dragon, and it's horrifying. Was there one more, Jeremy? Because go ahead.
Go ahead with the Ender Dragon.
The Ender Dragon is a giant Cazador.
Oh, geez. That's great. That's a fun
reference.
The
only other New Vegas reference that we found was the new sniffer mobs were bighorners. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
All right.
That is one thing, yeah.
So,
and that was...
That's a lot of stuff. I mean, I have some other questions here because that's a lot of stuff. And also, Main Monkey is joining us. Welcome, Main Monkey.
Welcome,
glad you're able
Monkey.
To make it. Pumpkin's talking about the Minecraft edition, or I guess I don't know what it's called. It's a whole
pack. It's a mashup pack.
Yeah, of Fallout. And we're discussing just generally Fallout in other places, right? So, okay. So it's Minecraft. Do you have like villagers walking around in like some of the locations or all of them?
Not all of them, just like a couple of them, like Megaton and oddly enough Sanctuary, which was a little that was a little strange. I get that it can be a compound, but like it doesn't start like that.
Right.
So
right.
I was a little not peeved, but it was a little strange.
Right. Well, you've got to make some adjustments to kind of make it work and make it fun to play with. Yeah, that makes sense. Do any of you guys have questions about this? Because I've seen it. I've never tried it. I don't play a ton of Minecraft, although I've dabbled in Minecraft. Anybody else have any questions about these? Let's open this up. Ash or CadPat? Have any of you guys played this? No, I'm seeing a lot of shaking heads. CadPat?
Briefly.
Yeah. So this, it's cool. Like, I like the idea of being able to play in a game like Minecraft, which is so flexible in a way that is like another game, but isn't exactly the other game, you know? It's just, I guess in my experience, it always feels like you kind of want it to go even further, you know? Like, clearly it's Minecraft, so you're not going to come across like a quest line that sends you off on some sort of mission or something. But that would be really cool too. Unless I'm wrong, unless that exists.
It's sadly not on this map, not on the map pack, because again, it is an older map pack, so we don't it's not exactly, but it wouldn't surprise if it ever got updated, which again, if you're listening to you guys, I would love an update of that map.
Yeah, Void, you have it sounds
don't
like you've got
quote
stuff.
Me on it,
okay,
but I'm pretty sure that it's been in the works for a number of years. But there is a mod pack and a 1-to-1 replica map of Fallout 4 that you can basically, with the mod pack and the map, you can pretty much play Fallout 4 in Minecraft, quest lines and all.
Is that like modders are making? That this is like
almost certain, yes. It's a full mod system. There's a guy on TikTok who's covering the journey of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that
like
sounds
they've
really
got
cool.
Full power armor and everything going on.
Yeah, that sounds great because I've seen where people have done things like build all of Middle Earth in Minecraft or whatever. But then a lot of it just ends up, I mean, that's massive. That's awesome. Or like all of New York City, you know, but then at the same time, it's like it's empty until you put a bunch of people in there. like it's really cool to walk around like once or twice and look at it all. But then at some point, it's like, what else do you do? So being able to like play Fallout in Minecraft with like similar or at least inspired by mechanics and items and things like that seems like a lot more fun to me. So yeah. All right. Anything else about this one? Do any of you guys play Minecraft anymore or have played much? I'm seeing not really.
Me and Jeremy actively have a normal just multiplayer going on.
Yeah, no, I mean it's still fun. Like there's a reason Minecraft did so well. It's part of it is because it's so flexible. So being able to work things like Fallout into it make a lot of sense. So
yeah,
yeah,
it's
cool.
Definitely considered a retro game, and it's still relevant.
Don't.
Yeah, is this based on that 15-year definition? There's a few different definitions for retro. Like somebody brought this up the other day and was it was on Retro Recall. One of the people commenting on the show because they know I do an Elder Scrolls Lorecast, and they're like, "Hey, so you know, Tom, Skyrim's a retro game now because it's 15 years old." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, yes, it's been a long time. I get your point, but also." That's just one definition of retro. Like, I don't know that there's an official definition, but that's a whole nother thing. So, Void was going to go next, but Void is either invisible or has gotten up and left his seat. Something must have come up. Who would like to go next instead of Void? We'll jump to Void when Void gets back. Cadpat. Now, you had mentioned in the pre-show that there is a very specific game that you have to mention. Otherwise, you have a brother who I think you said would murder you, like end your life.
Joking, but yes. The series I'm going to cover is the Metro series, which is near and dear to both my brother and my heart. I actually own all of the books in my barracks right now.
Oh, interesting. So I'm familiar with the games. I didn't realize there was a lot of other stuff out there like books. Are they novels?
Yes, they're novels. They're what inspired the games.
Okay.
I cannot pronounce his last name, but he is a very vocal anti-Putin writer.
Russian writer, right. Because those games take place in Russia, post-apocalypse kind of setting, which feels very similar to Fallout in a number of ways.
Yes, but it goes into... Fallout's more cartoony, whereas Metro is more feudalistic.
Yeah.
Or not feudalistic.
Yeah. Fallout has like comedic breaks. Like the comedy breaks the tension even when it gets really dark. There are times where the things are broken by funny things. It has a variety of different tones. Whereas, so to your point, Metro is like dark and ominous and. Like it just gets worse and darker from there, you know, like it's the sort of thing that just always feels depressing and rough from the start.
The safest and happiest Artyom ever was in his original freaking Metro station.
Yeah, before he went out on that adventure. Okay, so what is the reference? What is the Fallout reference in the games?
So there's a few, with the main one being from the most recent released game. Not counting the VR one, but Metro Exodus. They reference Liberty Prime, so minor spoilers for a really good game. After leaving Moscow, you're in this area called the Volga, and one of the characters gets hurt, and there's an American character named Sam. The Russian characters are asking Sam how they'll know when they reach a NATO checkpoint or base, and he responds, "First of all, there are these huge humanoid robots all plastered with stars and stripes with nuclear reactors up their asses." Pardon my language.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But there are also more minor references as well. The thing from the first Metro game, which is a flesh amalgamation that you fight in one of the bunkers as kind of a penultimate boss. And that gets its inspiration from the master, because it's just a pile of flesh with random limbs. It looks like a tumor with hair.
Right. Is it connected to like computer hardware, kind of like the master is?
Kind of. The area of D6 just has a whole bunch of like comms equipment and stuff like that running through it. So the flesh is eventually going to meld with the tech.
Okay. All right. So you said a Liberty Prime reference. Was that just a general robot reference like they were saying? Or was there something that was very specifically Liberty Prime?
I think it was the nuclear reactors up their asses. Was the main thing that tipped most people off to it being
so
Liberty Prime.
Nuclear powered robots.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a small reference with the ghouls. The humanimals are basically just a retextured ghoul.
So they're kind of ghoulish, ghoul-like.
Yeah. Only the main difference is they hunt in packs.
Right. Yeah, I'm pulling up a picture right now. They are very ghouly, like in that. So ghouls are very similar to zombies, but they're kind of their own thing. And these look like that. The same way that, like, when you fight a ghoul, you come across a ghoul, they're kind of misshapen in the Fallout games, yep. Right? So they've kind of got that quality, but they, like, you can tell they used to be humans at some point because they're somehow still wearing something, some semblance of pants for ratings reasons, probably. But that raises the question that I've always wondered, is that every zombie movie or also Fallout or games like this that have zombie-like characters, the first thing that would happen when you turn into zombies, your pants would fall down. Because your flesh would waste away, and then your belt wouldn't be tight enough, so zombies would all be running around with their pants down around their ankles. That would be the first plus thing that happens.
Yeah, plus all those zombie things, like the Walking Dead.
Right.
They would be done after, like, a couple of years due to the amount of decomposition.
Right, unless there's some sort of magic. Sure, but, like, in my mind, it's like, well, they're all decomposing, so how do they keep their pants up? They're not wearing suspenders. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but let's open this up. Have any of you guys played the Metro games? Anyone familiar with the Metro games? I've played at least the first two, if I recall. It's been a while. I don't see any hands. This is another one where, like, somebody brought something up and the rest of you go like, eh. Pumpkin says a little bit. Pumpkin, did you come across any of this stuff? Do you remember any of it from playing?
I made it maybe an hour into the game, so no.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, those games, at least I remember on the first, it was the first or the second one, or maybe all of them, where, like, your ammo is also your currency. So every time you have to shoot a gun, you're spending money that you won't have later to buy things when you get to the next settlement. Like that. Oh,
actually, there's a very good quote from the original books. A bullet is a life. A piece of bread costs 15 bullets. That's 15 lives for a piece of bread.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because that's what they use, because that's the most valuable commodity they have. So,
yes.
Yeah.
At least the good thing is it's not all of the ammo you can sell. It's only pre-apocalyptic AK ammo.
Yeah, it's the stuff that does more damage, and then the stuff that they make does less damage or something like that. So, like, when you really need it, you use it. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, cool. So any other thoughts on Metro? Anything else you want to throw in there before we move back to Void, since Void's now back?
Nothing other than that I highly recommend. You will not be disappointed if you're able to get through the games.
Yeah, and if you really like dark and sinister and things just keep getting worse as they go kinds of stories.
It's even just a good stealth game.
Yeah, that's true. You can stealth around. There's some really scary moments. They're interesting games.
Library.
Yeah, yeah, there's some good stuff. Ooh. All right, well, thanks, Cat Pat. Good one. All right, Void. Void's back. Void, we were going to go next to you, but you had to get up, and so we had to go to Cat Pat. Yep. But now we're back to you. What are you sharing with us?
Well, we apparently have an Easter egg in Cyberpunk 2077. Now, if you played Cyberpunk 2077, there's an area on the outskirts of the city called the Badlands. It's basically a desert where nothing much happens out there except nomads and raiders live. Mm-hmm. And trash.
Lots of trash.
A ton of trash is dumped out there.
There's a whole, like, fields of just trash.
The mountains is a better term. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so what do you find? What's the Fallout thing that you... Is it in the trash? First of all... Is it in the trash or is it like in the deserty, less trash?
It's in the desert area.
Okay. All right. And what is it?
So I'm going to read this straight from the Fallout fandom wiki. A few corpses can be found around a circular dish with 101 on the front. An archived conversation nearby reveals that two of these individuals, Albert Cole and Gary Epps, were live action role players, LARPers, who were role-playing a post-apocalyptic scenario where they leave the safety of Bunker 101 for the first time since nuclear war. Albert Cole is a reference to the protagonist option of the same name, and Gary Epps is a reference to the GURPS system, the original gameplay system before Special. The scenario of LARP, a search for a hydroprocessor to supply fresh water to the bunker dwellers, also reflects the storyline of the first Fallout, obtaining a water chip for the vault dwellers of Vault 13. Bunker 101 is a reference to Vault 101.
That's so interesting that they chose 101 instead of 13, even when there's so many references to the original Fallout and not Fallout 3. And I guess they were just kind of mixing it all together in order to make it different kinds of things different people would notice, maybe, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you come across this in the game? Because I don't I've played a bunch of Cyberpunk. I used to do the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I don't remember running to... In all fairness, I did not investigate every square foot of desert in the Badlands while playing a game that you play mostly in the city. But did you come across this?
I want to say I remember coming across it in like my first playthrough, just like running around out there for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, because that's part of what you do in an open world game.
Perfectly.
Right, like you go around and you're like, what's over here? It doesn't look like there's anything, but maybe there's something. And then you go look around and then you're like, yeah, it's still nothing. Until you come across something like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. This feels very Fallout-y in the same way that there are references in Fallout games to other things like movies and stuff that you can find in like these, you know, empty locations. Like even Fallout 1, there's a crashed flying saucer in the desert, you know, and that's a little Easter egg because there's not a whole lot of alien stuff yet in Fallout 1. But it's playing. I would assume back when Fallout 1 came out, that was just playing on sci-fi tropes of the time and just this fun little idea and just putting it in here where this is a direct reference to another IP. But that happens too in Fallout. So yeah. Anyway, I just took things sideways on that. Any other thoughts on this one, Void?
I want to go look at it again.
Yeah.
Specifically so that I can screenshot it and send it into the Fallout Lorecast channel in the Discord, which you can find on the website, robotsradio.com.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for advertising. I'll send you your money later.
Yeah, don't worry.
Cool. did any of you, the rest of you guys, come across this in Cyberpunk? Who played Cyberpunk? Anybody else play Cyberpunk? Pumpkin never, CatPat played Cyberpunk. You never played Cyberpunk? You guys never played?
I remember playing it on an Xbox One. Like, it was across two discs. This was before the Edgerunners update.
Right.
Yeah, that's before update 2.0.
Nothing I have can run it.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's kind of a beefy beast of a game for sure. So, all right, cool.
It's a new benchmark for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't remember this. This is one I'll have to look up and go find it. But good pull, Void. This is a fun one. All right, who would like to go next? We've got Lil Green. I don't know. Lil Green's kind of hanging out probably. Ash is here. Ash, do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I've got one that's not on the list, and then I will talk about one that's on the list, because there are three people in my life who will be very upset with me if I do not.
Man, there's so much murder that will happen if people don't talk about very specific things on this very specific episode of one very specific podcast.
Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow.
Exactly. So apparently there is a reference to Corvega in Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Whoa. Okay. So the original Bloodlines game from like 25 years ago or whenever that was.
Yeah. I'll read the thing from the wiki. So in the Santa Monica hub, the player can work for Arthur Kilpatrick and have access to his crime pewter for several quests.
Crime pewter?
Crime pewter, but it's spelled with a K.
That's amazing.
On the entry for Michael Muddy Durbin, the player can read that he had put up a Corvega for his bond. The Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines was created by Troika Games, the studio that Timothy Kane, Leonard Boyarsky, and Jason D. Anderson funded after leaving Interplay.
Yeah, Tim Kane. Tim Kane has done so much stuff. He's worked for all of these different developers and on so many different projects. Every time something like this comes up and they're like, oh yeah, and this is somehow related to Tim Kane, I'm like, amazing. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. My boyfriend and my two best friends love Vampire the Masquerade. So if they had found out that that was a reference and I didn't mention it, they would be very upset with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've seen the game be played. I've never actually played it myself.
I purchased it when it came out and played through at least a number of hours. It was very buggy on launch. It's still very buggy. It is an old game at this point. But I know there are modders out there who have fixed up a lot of it, but but it is a cult classic for reasons, right?
It's what I've seen of it being played. It does seem a lot of fun. And actually, the new season of Dimension 20 on Dropout, they're doing a campaign based on that system. Okay. The Vampire the Masquerade system.
All right, cool.
And I got to catch up on that.
It also is very, if I'm thinking back correctly on the game, and thank you, Nixborn in chat says it is completely fixed as of 3 or 4 years ago. That's amazing. It is the type of game that was very Fallout inspired in its time, in that if you played through an RPG like that back then, it was a lot about meeting other characters, having conversations, figuring things out through the conversations, where to go. And then those conversations and quest lines, the effects of that rippling out to other stuff, kind of in a very Fallout sort of way. So it is kind of an interesting connection there between, like, not only the Tim Kaine thing, but similar types of games, very different settings, though. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody didn't know. But what else do you have, Ash?
So I have been reading, well, listening, because I do audiobooks mostly, through the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
Okay.
I am currently on book 4.
Yeah, so this is on my list of stuff. I haven't checked this out yet.
I'm currently on book 4, and Carl will make, like, comments and references to various things throughout his monologues, because it's told from his perspective and first person point of view. Mm-hmm. But recently in book 4, he was talking about him having a fight with his girlfriend at the, like, ex-girlfriend now, but at the girlfriend at the time, where he spent the entire day just finishing Fallout.
Because of the fight? Or because the fight was, wait, did the fight happen and then that was how he recouped from the fight?
No, the fight happened and then he spent the day playing Fallout.
Okay, so it's not he played the game all day and then she got mad at him for playing games all day.
No. They thought about something else and then he spent the day finishing Fallout.
Got it.
It didn't specify which one, so I'm going to assume the first one because it just said Fallout.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
That was it. That was just one line.
Yeah. Well, so I haven't checked this out yet. This series is getting a lot of popularity online. People talk about it a lot. And I would imagine that the writer clearly knew who his audience was and that people would get the reference and identify with it. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very good series. My dad and I are currently discussing it, though. He is on book 8 and I'm just like,
yeah. Isn't it turning into a TV show?
Possibly. There's talks for Seth MacFarlane to be the executive producer, but there's nothing like super concrete.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. For any of you out there thinking about doing a podcast, if that gets greenlit as a TV show, somebody absolutely needs to do a podcast about it for sure. So just throwing that idea out there. So let's open this up a little bit because we've got a few different things. Anybody have anything they want to chime in with this? Pumpkin, I saw you getting excited about Carl.
So I have not read it yet. It is on my list. The series is on my list. But what I've heard about the series, that makes 100% sense that the character would make a reference to Fallout.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys describe what the series is like for anybody who doesn't know? Because most of our listeners are Fallout fans and they may not have heard of Dungeon.
From what I've learned about the book, from talking to somebody who was reading it, like, for those who don't know, I do work in a school, so I do get to talk to some teachers. And one of my teachers that I talked to was reading the books. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, like, I've heard of Dungeon Crawler Carl, but I know nothing about it. And he goes, you're gonna want to sit down. And he explains it. He's like, okay, it's the post-apocalypse after an alien invasion, and they're making the people that survived live in Dungeons and Dragons, right? But in there's weird modern things. And, like, I've seen multiple pictures where Carl, just for some reason, he's got a boost to, like, something when he's not wearing pants.
Yeah. Okay, so all the imagery shows him without pants. Yeah, which is totally a thing, I guess.
Yeah, so he's got, like, a boost for not wearing pants, and his best friend is a cat that can, like, have some weird mentality.
It's his ex-girlfriend's cat.
It's his ex-girlfriend's cat.
But Princess Donut is the best.
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't forget about the tiara.
What about the tiara? What's the tiara?
I don't know about. I just know that there's spoilers. A lot of weird shit with
that. Okay. Spoilers.
All right, we're not going to bring that up then. Spoilers. Spoilers on that one. Well, that's cool. Ash, you said you had 3 things or just 3 people?
I think it was just the 2. Two I said things, I had the one that I wasn't on the list, and then I had to talk about one that was on the list.
Got it.
I mean, if you want me to keep talking, I can talk about the Borderlands.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and discuss that, sure.
Borderlands 2 has a couple of references in its, where did it go? There it is. It's Borderlands 2. Actually, there's, yeah. So two of the playable characters, Zero and Maya, both have alternate skins that are blue and yellow. One is called Vault Suit and the other one's called Vault Dweller.
Okay.
And then there's a reference to Three Dog. There's a gun. Here's a unique gun called Three Dog, but it's only spelled with one E. And the description is, because one barrel ain't enough and two is too few, which is the reference to his intro, because one dog ain't enough and two is too low. It's me, Three Dog.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, okay. So, man, I played through Borderlands 2. Borderlands 2 is still the best Borderlands, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zero is my boy.
Yeah.
I love Zero.
Yeah, it was a good mix of action and comedy.
I have used that suit. I think I have used that suit and just not catch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like this feels kind of vaguely familiar, although it's been a long time since I've played Borderlands 2. Also, the Borderlands games, you are vault hunters. Like, vault is a thing. It's not the same kind of vault. It's a very different kind of vault. It's more like treasure vaults, that kind of thing. But it definitely feels kind of post-apocalyptic, even though it's this weird space fantasy kind of thing, you know? So it makes sense that the people working on Borderlands would have been Fallout fans, and you're going to end up with references somewhere. So that's very cool. Very cool stuff. Anybody else want to talk about Borderlands and connections with this? Pumpkin? I feel like there's something universal about just being a human being in the 21st century and struggling with weight. I know it's something that I've had to deal with, and I go in and out of exercising more and having a better diet, and then I ruin it by eating more pizza and tacos and whatever else. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And diet and exercise are great, but sometimes you need a little bit more. You can lose 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise with Wegovy at Hims. It regulates your appetite so you eat less, and Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles. You can get everything through Hims, so it all happens online. You'll be connected with a licensed provider who helps determine if this is the right treatment for you, and if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered directly to your front door. No insurance is necessary. There's a range of GLP-1 options, and they give you a lot of extra support with 24/7 messaging, team care, in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, recipes and meal plans. They're not just going to sell you the product. They're going to support you and make sure that you do what is right for you. So are you ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com.
I don't have Borderlands, but there is one I did want to talk about.
Okay.
On the list.
All right. We'll do you next. Okay. First of all, let's just point of order. Lil Green or Main Monkey, if you guys have things you want to chime in with, let me know.
I really don't have any references off the top of my head right
okay,
now.
Okay, no worries. Main Monkey, if you want to chime in, let us know. And anybody want to talk about Borderlands before we move on? I'm not seeing anyone. All right, Pumpkin. Pumpkin's sharing another one. What are we talking about?
So this one's a bit more on the funny side. So in the game High on Life.
Okay, this is like the Rick and Morty guy.
Yeah, this is the Rick and Morty guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is an achievement that is called Fallout Doesn't Let You Do This. And the whole thing is you shoot a child, and then you like afterwards they were like, oh no, he's like 35. He just looks like that.
He just looks like a little kid, but he's like 35.
Yeah. That is the entire thing.
Oh,
is like,
man. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So this is a thing, right? Because like you don't come across children in Fallout, and then like,
well, no, you can run across children in Fallout. You just cannot.
I mean, I guess there are some cases of children.
Them.
That's true. But like, they're not very common.
You can't kill them.
Right. And you can't kill them. And then like Bethesda sticks to this too. Cause like Skyrim, there's kids, but you can't even injure them. You can't do anything. You can kill a chicken, but not a kid. Like totally off. Yeah. So, oh man. Did you play High on Life?
I've played a little bit. I've actually made it to that point because that achievement is very early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like within the first like couple of missions. But like the kid is goading you on and will not let you pass until you shoot
him. You just shoot him? You just like straight up shoot him?
Oh, the kid's annoying. He's like one of the most annoying characters in that game. And then it's just an immediate bang.
He's just dead. He's just dead. But it's like he's not a kid. Got it.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it even funnier is the gun, which are sentient in High on Life. The gun is totally against it.
So the gun's trying to talk you out of it while you do it. That's great. That's great. All right. That's a fun little one. Let's open this up. Let's any other ones that you guys want to share. Void has one. Void? We'll do Void and then CadPat. Void?
If I can press the unmute button, that'd be great. Thank you. So for Xbox players that played Fallout 4 or Forza Motorsport 6 around April 2016, they were given free Xbox Live codes for a vehicle in Forza called the 2069 Chrysler Rocket 69, which is in Fallout 4. And you can fully drive it. It is a pristine new model. It is, I think, one of two futuristic cars, the other being the Halo Warthog.
Okay.
That are in any of the games.
Uh-huh.
And if we would like, I have the stats of it.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
So the Rocket 69 is fitted with an atomic V8 engine producing roughly 1,000 horsepower, which allows it to have incredible straight-line speed, hitting a 0 to 60 in just 0.3 seconds with a top speed well over 200 miles per hour. The bubble-top roof, the bubble-top-like canopy, is made out of a shatterproof flexiglass, as well as it has suicide doors and retro jet fighter controls.
Ooh, retro jet fighter controls.
It has a unique rear heavy boat-like handling style that can make cornering a fun challenge, though its all-wheel drive makes it great for power sliding.
That makes sense. I mean, it does look kind of boat-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, and there's a Warthog from Halo. That's great. Yeah,
I believe that's the only other futuristic vehicle like that's beyond our current year that's in any of the games.
Yeah, that's so fun. That's fun. Like, this is the kind of stuff, like, sometimes people complain about these things and they're like, it breaks the realism of the game, and it's like, you're playing a Forza racing game, like, what does it matter, you know? Like, right. Have fun with it. Yeah, that's a fun one. Do you guys play Forza? Any Forza players? I've played Forza before. I've mostly like back when Game Pass wasn't crazy expensive, and I was just like, let's try this game out.
I have my wheel back here.
Yeah. Okay. So you actually have like a whole rig, a whole driving.
Yeah, I have
setup.
A whole rig with pedals, a wheel, six speed eight shifter,
nice.
And a lever e brake.
Oh, something happened to CatPat. He just disappeared. Hope you're doing okay, CatPat. So do you play like any of the like truck driver games?
Mm-hmm.
American Trucker. Do you do those?
Yeah, I think combined I've spent a total of like $350 on ATS, American Truck Simulator.
Wow. Those games are so intriguing because they get such high ratings. Like if you look them up on Steam, they're like overwhelmingly positive.
Well, and the reason for that is that they keep adding states, and they're expanding now into Canada currently.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So,
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Anybody else have any suggestions? I know CatPat had one, but it looks like something happened, and he had to go away for a second. Any other? Pumpkin's got another one.
I'm upset Jeremy hasn't talked about this one, because he's played this game.
Now Jeremy's going to get murdered.
There's four. Well, four or three sets of Fallout Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yes.
Okay, the reason I have not talked about it, and I am...
He's defending
himself. I have a stack in my hand for audio listeners that's about 4 inches tall of straight magic cards that I pulled on a gamble.
As opposed to gay magic cards? You said straight magic cards?
Yes, Tom. As opposed to gay magic cards.
What do you have
considering
against gay magic
June.
Cards? What do you have against those? So do you have the Fallout packs?
No, I do not. And that is because I refuse to touch anything that is not magic canon.
Oh, right. Because, okay, so for people who don't know, I'm not a big Magic player, but there are packs that are like competitive, and then there are packs that are just like, these are for fun, but you can't use them in a competitive setting. Is that what you're talking about?
The branded ones that like are like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Fallout, you or can Spider-Man. Use those in competitive.
Okay.
It depends on what mode you're playing.
Oh, okay. But so like the strictest mode doesn't allow those cards.
Yeah, no.
Okay, got
but it. I also am not a competitive player. I also don't want, I simply don't want those other brands in my Magic stuff.
Well, you can still, it is simply a personal preference. Separate. I mean, you are a Fallout fan.
I mean, you could just have them. But yeah. where in this room do you see Fallout?
I don't know. You look very small on my screen. Do any of you guys have Fallout Magic cards?
I have the Mutant Mayhem set, so I have the Mothman set.
Oh, that sounds cool. So what kinds of cards are there? Like, what are the different...
Oh, so in Mutant Mayhem specifically, of course, there's Mothman. That's the big one. There's the Master. There's Frank Horrigan. The one that I liked a lot, because not a lot reference it, and I'm surprised that Magic did, was that there's a card, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the art of it is... The puppet master from Vault 77.
Oh, wait, what? Wait, the Penny Arcade referenced thing?
Yes.
Like, that's such a mess. That's so.
Yeah, that is. Well, they made a Penny comic recently that continued the comic.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, like, I've just accepted that it's canon, so. Yeah,
I guess so at this point. I've had people say things like, why did you skip over that vault? I was like.
There's not a lot. There's
because
not a lot
the
of
episode would have been 2 minutes long. Like, there's nothing else to say. Yeah. Man, that's amazing. But those are some deep pulls. Frank Horrigan. Like, we're not talking like Fallout 4 or Fallout 76. We're talking.
Yeah.
Or even New Vegas. We're talking like old Fallout stuff.
My favorite card, though, in the entire set, Raoul is in my set. And I'm so happy about it. I love Raoul. Raoul is my favorite companion in the entire series. And like. I got a card. He was in my deck, and I was like, I don't even play Magic. I wanted the set, and now I'm even happier because Raoul's here.
that's so cool. Like, so this is not one of those things I expected, but it makes sense. Like, if you're somebody who's going to make Magic decks, if you're, you know, the company in charge of this, and you're going to work with a company like Bethesda to get the rights to Fallout, then it makes sense to appeal to like the really in deep fans. You know, the ones who would know those references. As opposed to just here's a power armor, here's a ghoul, you know, like to actually have real references. And CatPat's back. How's it going, man? You doing okay? Things good?
Yeah, sorry, my phone died.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Do you have
I
these
have
two?
The science deck. Yeah, I have the science deck, which is mostly Brotherhood of Steel based.
Okay, cool. Is like, there anything else in there that's not Brotherhood of Steel that would be, or any like deep pulls from Brotherhood stuff?
Well, there's... Dr. Lee and Liberty Prime are the only two I can really remember right now, since I don't have my cards here. They're 1,000 kilometers that way.
Okay. Well, we'll wait. You go get them. Man, my jokes are... Somebody complained. Okay, this is a fun thing. I got a comment recently on a post, and they said they're working their way through the episodes, and they got to the section of the episodes where Lainey was my co-host. And they said something like, well, now that Lainey's Tom's co-host, his jokes keep getting worse. And he says he'll say something awkward and then just leave a pause. And I don't know if I can deal with that anymore. And I responded and I was like, oh, you're only on the Lainey episodes. Well, don't worry. My jokes get worse from there.
Don't worry. There's so much fun.
they get way worse. So also, like, if you don't enjoy the show, man, don't listen to the show. Like, it's fine. But yeah.
And
so,
plus, there's a lot more Lorecast shows hosted by a bunch of different hosts.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people do shows. In fact, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's lots of YouTube videos you can go watch. Like, this is the only place you can get lore, I promise. Man, that's cool. Like, now you got me thinking about, like, do I want to collect some cards? Would I play the game? Would I just display them somewhere? I mean, I've got a bunch of Fallout stuff in my room. Like, is it worth the money or asking for it for like a birthday present? You know, like, I don't know.
Even if you don't play Magic, they're cool cards. Yeah. Like the Soul Ring is a spilt thing of Nuka-Cola.
That's cool. That's cool. And the artwork is usually pretty cool too, right? Like, oh, yeah. Does it look good?
Oh yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah. Man, that's cool stuff. All right. I'm so glad that there's like crossover stuff like this going on. All of that is always so fun. So here's a fun story. This isn't a crossover thing, but it is a fun story. It's been a while now, but not too long ago, there was a local game store not too far from where I live. And they had a like life-sized bauble. Like the kinds that you would see in like GameStop when like Fallout 4 came out or 76 or whatever. And it was like a life-size bauble and they were selling it because they were getting rid of stuff in the store that they need more room or whatever. And this thing's huge. Like it's like 7 feet tall, like that kind of thing. It was like $1,000, $1,500, something like that. And my wife was like, we could go get it. And I was like, how do we even transport it? She's like, you could put it in your office and it could be on screen when you do your show. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. And also, I don't even know how to, like, does it come apart into pieces and then we build it? You know, like, how does that even work? So we didn't end up getting it, but that would have been really cool to have it, like, a full-on Vault Boy just standing behind me here.
So, who knows? You could get a 3D printer.
It's 3D print, like a giant one? Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, you could do it. It probably would cost you that much in materials. Yeah.
No, maybe, like, $40?
Of material for a 7 foot tall Vault Boy? That's a lot of plastic, dude. I don't know.
Well, it depends on how infilled you want it.
Yeah, yeah, like just a really thin shell. Dense, really easy. Yeah. All right, we're getting close to the end of the show. Any other references you guys are like, oh, this one needs to be called out here at the end? CadPat's got one. I saw one, and then we'll do Ash real quick.
Yeah, I wanted to quickly say this before my phone died, but there's a few references in Rage.
Rage, the Bethesda title. There was Rage and Rage 2, I believe. And they were, you know, they were not huge successes, but there were people who really liked them.
Yeah. Personally, I like Rage. I haven't gotten too much into it. I'm just trying to pull it up. Okay, so in the subway town, one of the pictures in a magazine you can read is a freeze frame of one of the nukes going off from the first ever Fallout.
Oh, it's like a screen capture or a picture from Fallout?
War never changes.
That's awesome.
It's a freeze frame of the nuclear explosion.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, war never changes.
Yeah, and you can also see the explosion and an Enclave iBot faintly in the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can find the Charisma bobblehead.
In the game, the bobblehead's in it? The Charisma one? That's awesome.
In the town of Wellsprings on the mayor's desk.
Wellsprings is also a reference. Good Springs?
Yeah.
Logan's looking at me very confused.
Wellsprings, Good Springs. Yeah, I get it. All right, Ash, what are you sharing?
I'm surprised nobody else brought it up because they are like very... No, my words are weird. Anyway, but Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal,
yeah, more Bethesda.
Both have Fallout references. In 2016, some of the doors in the UAC facility on Mars at the beginning have the Vault-Tec logos, and you can get a Vault Boy themed Doom Guy figurine in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can find those little, like the little toys.
Little Doom Guy figures, but yeah, one of them is like Vault Boy, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then in Eternal, you can get some of the magazines, like Guns and Bullets and the Vault Dweller Survival Guide. And then you can also get two of the plushies, one a Mr. Fuzzy and a Teddy Fear.
Oh, that's great. I did quick playthroughs of those, and I know I didn't find everything, so I don't remember coming across those.
I think I played Eternal, but I know I played some of 2016.
Right. I've played all three of the more recent ones, but not to, like, mm-hmm. you know, multiple playthroughs or, like, find all the things, do all the achievements, not on that level. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff I just didn't come across. But that's fun, especially because it's a, you know, it's another Bethesda title, or it used to all be under the same umbrella, and now it's all Microsoft. And
that's what I was trying to say, and yeah. My brain got scrambled.
Right, right. And there is rumor that they're... Say that again?
The umbrella just got bigger.
The umbrella just got bigger. Yeah, there's concerns that Microsoft is trying to save money with some changes, and they are definitely investing in more Fallout and in more Elder Scrolls, but the other Bethesda studios are all like vying for like, hey, keep us around. So hopefully we keep getting more Doom. That would be nice. But yeah, some fun references. Pumpkin?
In the spirit of Doom, I'm going to bring up Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
There's a vending machine in Wolfenstein that has, I don't know what the soda is called, but if you look at it, there's very clearly a thing based on Vault Boy. Little picture, tiny little thing. And then just straight up Nuka-Cola is in the vending machine.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a New Order and Old Blood. So two of the newer Wolfensteins. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Oh, these references are so fun. Well, thank you everybody for bringing all these different topics and things to talk about this week. This has been super fun. You've got me wanting to collect magic cards and like play some of these games I haven't played at all or haven't played in a long time and go find the little toys in Doom and be like, oh, there's little Vault Boy, look at him or whatever. But here, let's go back through the list on the screen in order. Share how people get a hold of you or anything else you've got going on that you want people to know about. And we'll start with Pumpkin. Pumpkin, you've got stuff, right?
I'll talk about half the stuff.
Yeah, talk
Jeremy
about half
can
the
get
stuff.
The other half.
Yeah, because you guys are like two halves of one whole person.
Yeah, if you see one of us, you're seeing both of us. My name, you guys know me as Pumpkin King. I also am. I mean, I love doing this show, but I also help run Tism Talk. I am one half of Tism Talk, and we
the Tism part over or there, the talk just... part. Sorry,
I'm the talk. He's the Tism.
Okay, cool. Void's happy about that. So great, wonderful.
We always talk about random, but like we've talked everything from Fallout to old cartoons to whatever the hell. If you've got an idea, you could throw it in our chat. We'll talk about it at some point, but you can always find me over there over in Tism Talk, but you could also find me on Blue Sky at the Pumpkin King. You can also find me on Twitter on X at the Pumpkin King. So
yeah, so go check out your stuff. Yeah, and Tism Talk and your other show,
and Tism Talk and the other show, who will be
they're on the Robots Radio Network, so robotsradio.net, and you guys launch your shows by joining the Rock Club, so come join the Rock Club, launch your show. Heck, do the Dungeon Crawler Dave, that's his name, Dave, was it? Carl, why did I think Dave? Do a show like that, I'll help you launch your show, and I'll get the name wrong again. All right, let's go to Void. Thanks for being here, Void.
You're welcome. I kind of want to be here, I pay for this because I'm a tier 4 subscriber on Patreon. Go support this man.
I will pay you more later.
So my name is Void or Jeremy. I run the Dungeons and Dipshits, a live play D&D podcast, as well as I am the Tism half of Tism Talks. Tism Talks is every Thursday, attempted every Thursday at 6:30 Eastern, posting on YouTube, Spotify, and anywhere else you can get your podcasts. Dungeons and Dipshits is hopefully going up on Saturday.
Okay, cool. This is a new season? Is this?
Yes, it is season two.
Yeah.
We only have one of our players on the first two episodes so far. The other one should be joining relatively soon.
You're really
one of our
talking
new players
up.
Got us
new players. I said that
our new player. No, you just said one of our players.
I just assumed you were doing Dungeons and Dragons with only one player. Is kind of what I assumed you were doing there for a moment.
I mean, I was for like the first hour of the first session of season two, but here we are, and it was Logan. So, but yeah,
really selling it.
Go look at us. We're not pretty, but you know, we'll make it worth it.
Well, you could just listen to them. If you don't like the way they look, there's audio. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Void. Thanks for promoting my stuff.
Of course.
Lil Green, thanks for hanging out. I know you didn't have a whole lot to talk about this week, and you've been busy working on stuff, but thanks for taking time to just hang and be part of the group.
No, I'm always happy to be here and jump in when I can, but this episode made me realize I need to play more games.
Yeah, go play more games. Yeah.
So, but... You could find me in the Discord. My name is Little Green, or you could, if you want to see the stuff I'm working on, my photography page on Instagram is littlegreen_photography. Check me out there. Send me a follow. Let me know that you found me through the show. That's all I got for me right now.
There you go. Thanks, Little Green. Ash, you're up next. Some fun recommendations that people should check out. Everyone's probably going to walk away with this episode with a list of stuff like, oh, I need to play that
again. Please, 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 please read Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Dungeon Crawler Dave.
No, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
I'm gonna make a competing series called Dungeon Crawler Dave.
If I ever forget the name, then I'm getting kicked out because my dad's name is Carl.
Oh, no.
Spelled the same way.
Oh, no.
With a C. So I can't ever forget the name. Me, Brecchio Dreamer Ash. You can find me on the Discord, same name. I don't really have a whole lot going on right now. You want to chat? I might miss it, but that's just because I'm, scatterbrained.
And sure. I'm clearly never scatterbrained, so
of course not.
Of course not.
But awesome. Read Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yeah, or Dave. Thanks, Ash. Main Monkey, thank you for being here. I don't know if you want to give any shout outs or you can unmute if you would like to in a moment and just tell me. And then Cat Pat's here. Cat Pat, thanks for taking the time to join us. You got anything you want to share? Anything going on?
Yeah, I can't really talk about my socials too much just due to work. But if I'm ever on 76 and you see the cliff face, come say hi. Beware the death claw. Just don't piss it off.
Yeah, be nice to the death claw.
Nice to the death claw, and the death claw will be nice to you.
There you go. Life lessons, words of wisdom to end the show on. Thanks, Cat Pat. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and being a part of the show and continuing to listen and be a part of it and deal with the bad humor and all of those things. We really appreciate you being here. And I'll be back next week with another regular episode. I'll probably be continuing the businesses because there's still so many I haven't gotten to yet. And maybe mixing it up with some other things, like some other episodes about stuff. We'll get there. And everybody's laughing at me. I don't know why they're laughing at me, but I'll have a... Nope. What is... You can talk. Did Void do something funny?
No, Jeremy put in the side chat, I'm calling her Carl till I dungeon.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't have it. Yeah, I see it now. I don't have it open in front of me. But thank you, everybody, for being here. I'll be back next week. And hopefully all of our patrons will join us next month for another fun topic. And stay safe out there. Don't mess with the death claw. And go check out Dungeon Crawler Dave. See you. Bye, everyone.
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.